Interpretation. Part 2 of a two-part No Fate Project Report, July 2021, Timeline K1.
So, this episode is a bit of an info dump. We finally accessed Dyer's diary, Derek read it and wrote out the key findings, and now we're going to report back for our listeners. For any lore hounds wanting to learn more, we've put Dyer's diary up with some notes on the blog, but we'll try to give you the short version here. Dyer may have had many positive qualities, but brevity wasn't one of them. So, Derek, what are the key points?
It's just so much. Let's see the nightmares of cities, all these waking visions people have in all kinds of nightmares that we're having, of all these eldritch creatures being watched by unseen forces. Is it by these creatures? Is it by the CIA, the KGB, the deep state, the shadow man, colonization, mad scientists, time travel, conspiracies within conspiracies, cults, kaiju, protectors, evil, magic books? And climate change, zombies, and the end of the world is coming? Honey, I mean, it's just so much.
You're in a spiral. You're sounding manic. Please breathe. Three deep breaths. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Take some Valium, and I'll put some lo-fi on.
Yeah, it's just like end of the world, cults and time travel and shit. We're and going across the wastelands of America and being on the run. Now I'm in hiding. It's just, yeah. The stress is really getting to me.
I understand.
Thank you. That helped.
Lo-fi is a lifesaver.
You go insane when you try to comprehend the old ones from what my research is showing.
Yeah, but you and I have a lot of experience managing insanity. It's one of our skills. Anyway, it makes sense to be anxious. You're in the belly of the beast up in Arkham.
No, don't mention that. We'll cut it.
Oh, right. I guess the Pikmin...
Yeah, we'll talk about it after. I'm at an undisclosed location right now. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Cool. Okay, so... are you okay to report back on your research now, or do you need a break?
Yeah, I'm okay now, thanks. Still getting my head around it, obviously. Basically, the Dyer expedition investigated evidence of ancient civilizations and creatures.
Cretaceous begat Miocene begat Eocene.
Yeah, these initial findings were largely compatible with existing theories, but more radically, Dyer's team ultimately discovered this ancient city of so-called elder things in the mountains of Antarctica. Basically, this pre-human civilization.
So the elder things are those star-faced creatures I had a vision of, right?
Yeah, yes. Looking at these sketches, their faces resemble starfish.
And they're a kind of benevolent, advanced civilization? Whereas the old ones are giant evil gods.
Yeah, giant evil alien gods, yes. Reading between the lines, it seems the Pikmin Foundation's agenda is reviving the old ones.
So basically our enemies are wealthy old white men collaborating with interstellar colonizers to bring on a global extinction event.
Basically, and it also seems like a very familiar plot.
And the Antarctic Protector was engineered by the Elder Things to counter these nefarious forces.
Yes, the Elder Things engineered them to be a kind of compassionate god based on one of their protector deities, I guess, for lack of a better term. Their protector draws on the orgone, supposedly, a kind of psychic field. So they respond to psychic distress and they're strengthened by collective faith.
Like Dr. Tate said, the first scientifically verifiable god. And were the other kaiju also supposed to be protectors in theory? Because it really doesn't seem like they are in practice.
Yeah, that part's murky. With the Antarctic Protector, the Elder Things engineered the ancient egg that finally emerged from the ice thaw and hatched in 2020. They created the creature directly. With the other kaiju, all the diary says is they planted seeds across the continents. I'm speculating here, but it seems they were embedded in the genetic code of apparently indigenous species. It's almost like the kaiju's emergence from these species is a recessive gene, creation via evolution. Less of a direct path than the creation of the protector, but they were seeded to emerge in a situation of planetary threat.
Maybe they see us as the threat?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Unintended consequences?
Yeah, the Elder Things were pretty advanced, but they were still fallible overall. The Old Ones strode this world as giants. When we came on the spot, they saw us as ants. The Elder Things were the least malevolent evil bastards. Last time, the wars of these colonists almost ended the world. Now humanity is causing the sixth extinction. This is our blowback.
Do we know when the Old Ones will return?
No, hopefully not in our lifetimes. The greatest, or worst, is Cthulhu, the tentacled beast slumbering near the Pacific Pole of Inaccessibility. But there are others out there.
But they have one representative already here and awake. Nyarlathotep, the tall man I've seen in my dreams.
Seems like it. I thought I was the only tall man in your dreams.
I wish. He is hoping he doesn't bring his old friends back. What does it mean that so many of us are encountering the Elder Things and the Old Ones in nightmares without having heard of them before?
I have no idea, but what little I found out about Cthulhu is his dreams affect the dreams of humanity while he slumbers down there.
So summing up, there are three kinds of strange beast. The protectors and destroyers who have awoken, and the old ones who still slumber. The protectors are on the side of humanity and backed by the Global Protection Society. The destroyers are seemingly arrayed against all humans, despite the wishes of some millenarian fascists. The Pikmin Foundation are on the side of the old ones who, again, want to destroy humanity or will destroy humanity whether they want to or not.
Correct. It's like chaos versus chaos. The old ones definitely have an agenda that, as far as we can understand them to have agendas, would lead to our destruction, and they don't so much care about destroying humanity out of malice, but their indifference to our existence means the same thing, as they are aided by their human cult in the destruction and reclaiming of the world around us. I mean, we're scrambling bugs to them, and the cult wants to be like maggots that ride these monsters as they devour us all.
And the holy war between the Pikmin Foundation and the Protection Society is heating up. This is all assuming the diary is accurate. That's our only real updated source on the old ones. How did Dire learn of their existence again?
Well, Dire's journal said that all the arcane shit was learned in this book, the Necronomicon, in the Miskatonic University Library. The expedition found the ancient city of the Elder Things in the Antarctic Mountains, and the bodies and the cave drawings matched descriptions of them in the book. But what Dire was unaware of was the expedition planners, like Lake and the Pikmin Foundation, knew there was something out there. I would bet money Nyarlathotep showed them the way. In that city, Dire found the Memory Stone, a creation of the Elder Things, which gave him flashbacks to the Old Ones' old war and first invasion. Following the Elder Things' work, he realized the Old Ones will awaken again. In a way, they warned us.
The timey-wimey stuff confuses me the most.
It's another temporal cycle. Dire received dire warnings from the past via the Memory Stone, and the future via our station broadcast, which apparently does reach further than 12 months, based on Danforth's maddening visions of what is our present or past. We just don't hear anything back. With the knowledge of the past and the future, Dire warned against returning were establishing a base near the Elder Things' ancient city in the mountains. The irony is, by learning of the future and warning against it, he set it in motion. The Pikmin Foundation followed his lead the more they learned and wanted to bring the apocalypse he warned against. So they founded Dire Station in his name, kind of as an insult to the man. The Foundation covered up the events of the original expedition and Dire's warning letter, the existence of the Tilling Gas device turned time phone, and knew about the alien city. They must have known of climate change in the Sixth Extinction way much further back than anyone. The projects at the base were never really about solving them, so much as co-opting any attempt to cause the apocalypse. Luckily, the time phone exists in multiple timelines, and we have been aided by other us's, and those assholes didn't see that coming.
Dr. Tate was further sighted than we were as well. So she seized control of the station, turning it against its founders. We didn't even realize that was happening at the time. I was thinking, the stone Dire found, the one that gave him ancient flashbacks, it's a soapstone, like cyan, greeny, blue, and it gives flashbacks to ancient civilizations. That sounds a lot like the memory stone in Dr. Tate's necklace. The way Tate holds that stone, the way she looks at it, it's the same way she does with the diary. The memory stone and the diary, two things Dire left behind. She doesn't talk about it, but I think she has a personal connection with him.
I think you're right. So what, he could have been, what, her father, grandfather? My theory from all the research is perhaps Nathaniel Derby Pikmin is not a descendant of the original Nathaniel Derby Pikmin, but rather he's an immortal cult leader.
Really?
I could be wrong. Either way, Mason Morrell served him like Renfield as his acolyte ancestor Edward Morrell did. The whole Pikmin cult could be immortals or werewolves or something. The same names keep cropping up down the generations, like Nathaniel Derby Pikmin.
Well, given names do get passed down, immortal or werewolf seems like a bit of a leap, but they definitely have inbred aristocratic vibes, and Morrell did strike me as a Renfield type. So we know Dire saw the problem with the Pikmin Foundation's agenda. Maybe he initiated the Global Protection Society, and then Tate deliberately infiltrated the No Fate Project to achieve what he couldn't.
Makes sense, and it's impressive how Tate flew under their radar until so recently.
Yeah. Anything else we can learn from the diary?
I think we've covered most of the big stuff. Their cult at Miskatonic funds quite a few dangerous mad scientists, like an evil arcane science think tank. Don Levy is not an outlier. I was wondering, can you tell if the Protector cult has assets like the Pikmin Foundation?
No, it seems like they do just rely on whatever funding they can scrabble together, David and Goliath.
I'd be more excited about David, but...
Well, David leads a cult in a holy war. We're on the same side, but arm's length seems appropriate. No offense to any Protection Society members listening, we love you really, we're just not joiners. So, what are the kaiju headlines?
Well, they're all still converging on Syria. The two destroyers are already there, while the protectors are on their way. The destroyers are chowing down on the spoils of their destruction of Damascus. The aggregator devouring debris, and Hazel and the Nutcrackers munching nuts. Meanwhile, the protectors stopped off to restore the Fertile Crescent, but they're not far from Syria.
They're all converging. Final battle?
Looks likely. Any news from the past?
Yeah, last year's No Fate Project moved from NGO lobbying to movement action, but the Anarchist International they've joined is debating whether it's necessary to reach consensus on whether to use a consensus process. Kind of a recursive loop there.
Analysis paralysis. Well, that's all the news from us this month, listeners. Stay safe and we'll see you in the future.
So what was the thing you couldn't talk about?
Oh, so I got a message from an Agent 99, a Protection Society mole in the Pikmin Foundation, telling me to lay low. She says the Foundation is planning retribution for our rampage, and all bets are off. I'm in a safe house and they won't let me leave.
At least you got out of California. How'd you manage that?
Smashed through a roadblock with the help of the Connor.
Wow.
Yeah, not the safest route, but Vertical Corp were out for my blood. But now I've got the same problem and I'm not going to say where I am. How have you been anyway?
Okay, safe enough. Still dreaming of demons every night, and now I know they're real. At least I wake up to daylight here in New Zealand, unlike back on the base.
Who's even left on the base? They fired so many people after the budget cuts.
A skeleton crew, maybe 10 souls all up. Some techies, Dr. Tate, the Robinsons, and... speak of the devil, Karen Lopez. I'll be back.
Yep. Honey speaking. Oh no.
What is it?
Oh.
What's going on?
Karen, are you still there? Karen, who's left? If you can hear me, if you have to stay quiet for safety, just press a button. I'll hear the tone. Please, just press a button. Let me know you're there.
You have seen this incident based on sworn testimony. Can you prove that it didn't happen? We once laughed at the horseless carriage. The aeroplane, the telephone, the electric light, vitamins, radio, and even television. And now some of us laugh in outer space. God help us in the future.